Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. All right, today I want you to go to the book of Numbers, and we're going to read a couple verses out of Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14 we'll go to, and then we'll go to the book of Isaiah briefly. So let's go to Numbers chapter 13, and I kind of want to give you a little bit of a, we've talked about this before. Most of you would be familiar with this set of events that occurred after God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and eventually sent the 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land. And then they came back, and after they came back, they began basically 10 of the 12 to discourage everyone else in the ability to go in and to actually take the land that God had promised them. And so we pick up in Numbers 13, we'll read verse 30 through 33. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Now let's go to Numbers chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 20 through 24. This is after all of this stuff has occurred and God has listened to all this coming out of their mouth. And then God makes a statement to them after Moses has prayed that God would not just wipe them out. "And the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my son, servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.'" Now go with me to the book of Isaiah. And let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to look at verse 18 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 through 31. Now, the Lord is speaking about himself. So we want to get here beginning at verse 18. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you today asking that you would help us to move through the Word of God in a way that will continue to help us to grow in faith, that we might be truly the children of God, soldiers of God, farmers of God, athletes of God, who recognize the need, Father, for spiritual discipline in our lives, that we might grow to be what you called us to be, that we might walk in the power and the authority of your word. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I am doing a message that I've entitled Christian Grasshopper. Last week, Brother Chris did a message called Up a Little Higher. And I heard him mention, you know, some things about Christians and meat and milk and things like that. And what I want to talk about today, my thesis when I get to the end of this message, is that you cannot build excellent faith that overcomes unbelief by hopping by and avoiding necessary spiritual disciplines. Simple as that. Everybody understands this when it comes to everything else. Athletes understand. They're not going to be anything if they don't practice. They're not going to be anything if they don't spend the time doing what they need to do. You're not going to be anything if you don't learn the plays and understand them. And you don't learn the plays by just memorizing them. You have to practice. You have to practice and you have to practice. And you have to practice to the point that when you finally get on the field, it's just second nature to you. When something happens, you just know what to do. You're not sitting there wondering. You're not doing. You do automatically what it takes. Farmers understand. You got to farm. If you're going to get something, you got to plow, you got to plant, you got to water, you got to plow, you got to plant, you got to water. You got to do something if you want to get something out of what's going on. Soldiers understand. You need to understand your enemy. You need to know what your enemy is capable of. You need to know your weapons, how to use them, when to use them, what they're used for. You need to understand the enemy's territory, all this stuff. And these are the things that God has compared us to as Christians, yet we go around hopping around like a bunch of grasshoppers, because everything that I've read about grasshoppers, it makes sense. They hide in the bushes. They do certain things. When you scare them, they jump off a certain way. You know, the bottom line is they're always camouflaging themselves. They don't have any discipline. Now, the reason that I came up with this was because as I read about what happened with Caleb and what the people compared themselves to, and they said, we were like grasshoppers when we went in this land and saw these big giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We were like grasshoppers to them. He says, and so the bottom line is we knew we couldn't win. They're going to smash us. They're going to crush us. Then we go to Isaiah, where God describes himself. And he says, haven't you heard? Have you not known? I mean, just think about everything going on in the planet today and that you hear going on in this country and how people are reacting to it. I keep telling people, we need to have some wisdom, but none of this stuff's going to win. All you got to do is go back and look at Rome. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. The Persian empires, the Macedonians, all of these people that ruled with whatever iron fist they thought they ruled with. People who thought they were going to crush out Christianity by throwing them in the lion's den and all the other stuff they did. And they're gone. Every single one of those kingdoms are gone. They don't exist anymore. You can't find, the only thing you find in Rome is the Pope. There are no Romans like that. There are no centurions. They don't rule the world no more like they did. They're all gone. But the word of God, as God says, endures forever. God said, look, when this is all over, I have a plan. And that is that I'm going to show everybody the earth is going to be filled with my glory, God says, because people are going to understand who I am. Y'all are going to have seen everything happen. And now what we see is nothing other than the epitome of what always happens when men do not use reason. When they don't use wisdom and reason, it makes sense they get to where they are. All you got to do is think about it. I was thinking the other day, I said, even the concept of evolution in today's worldview doesn't make any sense. You can't, on the one hand, tell people you don't believe the Bible's account of this and moral value, where it comes from, that there are morals that humans ought to have, if you believe we evolved. If you believe we evolved from anything, if you don't believe God created us, which then means that he created us with certain rules about how we deal with each other, then we evolved, and that means I get to do what I want to do. You can't tell me that I got to treat you fair. This is survival of the fittest. That's how evolution works. Don't y'all understand that? The reason we are still here is because we evolved, and the more fit species evolved. So then how can anybody who's black say anything to white people about, well, you know, y'all ain't right. We need equal rights. Why? Why should I treat you equal if we evolved to where we are? I'm just sorry. Obviously, you need to evolve a little more. Systemic this, systemic that. That's because, obviously, they evolved a lot more better than we did, obviously. They evolved to figure out how to control it all. Is that a bad thing? Yeah, well, if we evolve, where do you get your idea of justice from? It must come out your head. Because if it comes out of your head, then that means, guess what? I can have mine come out of my head. You want justice? I don't. You want my money? I want to keep it. You think you should get some? I think you shouldn't. What? Well, who gets to make the decision? God said, I'm going to let y'all do all of that stuff. And eventually, the earth's going to be filled with my glory. I've already told y'all who I am. I sent my son 2,000 years ago. Let him tell you who I was. Y'all killed him on purpose, and I let you so that I could forgive you of your sins. Now you have a choice to make. But to Christians, I thought, they go in there. God tells us to do things by faith, believe God, know God, can do things, whatever. And the reality is that many times people, instead of doing what God said, they sit back and they entertain thoughts in their head about God. Yeah, all kind of stuff come out of people's heads about why God this and why that and all kind of stuff. Instead of, why don't you go figure out what God said? Look, if somebody asks me what you think God think about something, I don't come out of my head. I used to do that. I used to say stuff like, well, you know, that just don't seem right. I don't think God would. Look, I don't purpose upon God nothing no more. If he spoke on it, then that's what he think. There's nothing else to say about it. That's the problem, though. That's like your coach handing you a playbook. And then, you know, y'all know them kids. If you've been a coach at all, you know them, and maybe you was one of them. Pass the ball. No, they got to shoot. We call them ball hogs. You know, them the ones they got to make sure everybody get to see. I can do it. And they saying, pass. Somebody could be open right there. They ain't going to pass the ball. They going to shoot. And they could get to a point where they start making it, and after a while, they're like, ooh, let them shoot. But the reality is, that wasn't the play. You got to understand the play. You cannot play by yourself. I heard something very interesting the other day. What's not good for the beehive is never good for the bees. You need to understand something, folks. God expects people in the church to deal with each other like a community, right? You know, you can't do this thing by yourself. All right? You can't do this thing by yourself. Whatever's not good for the church is not good for you. So you need to understand this. If you're doing great all by yourself in America, when America falls, well, guess what? You ain't gonna be doing so great. What ain't good for the country ain't good for you. Now, you can say, I don't care about anything. Well, fine. But I'm just making it clear to you. You got to understand that beehives are built by bees. They build them. That's how they get them. That's how they get a beehive. They build them. But if the beehive is snatched down or destroyed, the bees don't have nowhere to go. Same thing with countries. Same thing with churches. Same thing with life. As individuals, we have to build up the church. But the only way we can do that at first is build up each other. And then build up yourself. See, you need to build yourself up first so that then you're able to do those things that God's calling you to do. The Bible says in one place, many are weak and sick amongst us, and many die early. Why? See, let me tell you something. You know why people don't like to ask God why? Because they're scared of the what? Yeah, they don't really want to know the truth. People don't really want to know the truth. I was reading yesterday. They say that there are many people, hopefully none of y'all are sitting here like this, who have diabetes already. It's just undiagnosed. You have eaten your way to being a diabetic, but you don't know it yet because they haven't diagnosed you, because they don't diagnose you until you start having symptoms. You know, you go having your symptoms, and what happens then is they go start taking other tests. Well, by the time they take them tests, it's too late. You got the symptom. That means you already got it at that point. Well, it's too late. Why don't they do the test to check out what's wrong with you to start? Well, why don't they? I don't know. I mean, you know, they measure my sugar every year. I understand that, but your sugar could be within a certain limit. But if your insulin's off, eventually you're going to have diabetes. You can't do that with just a sugar test. People are like, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, I know it, but you're living life. How you expect to live life, play the game of it, deal with it a certain way, and there's certain things about your own body you don't know nothing about? How? How?
I don't understand why God let so-and-so this happen to so-and-so.
God ain't let nothing happen but what naturally happens many times. You driving down the road. You texting. You had an accident. God, why you let that happen? Can you please drive? Can you please put your eyes on the road and drive? If something happens today, I could ask a person to interview him. Let me ask you the question. When was the last time you prayed and asked the Lord to lead you not into temptation and deliver you from evil? When was the last time you did it? Or do we live life like, you know, God gonna watch over us because he just do? It's amazing how death today, if I told you that you could die today, the average person doesn't think that way. But then when one of us dies, we're shocked. You're going to call me a pastor. I got some terrible news. What? And you're going to tell me somebody died that you didn't expect to die because you got expectations that don't line up with the Bible. You do. Let me tell you what the Bible says first. See, this is what the Bible says. Let's look at what the Bible says. You know, Chris said it last week. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for me right quick. Let's look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I'm going to go to James while y'all going there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. I gave you those verses back there. I'm going to put them up there while I tell y'all this right here. Now, this is something that I want you to think about as I read this to you. James said this. Now, this is what James said. Now, y'all go into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. James said this in James chapter 1. I want to look at verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11. He says, 10 and 11, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So the Bible tells me that a rich man, no matter how rich he is, at some point he's just going to fade away. Just boom, you're just gone. Just going to fade away. So why are we shocked? Why would you be shocked today if someone called you up and said, somebody you knew that you thought they got plenty of money, they did, and all of a sudden they dead? Why would you be shocked? You should say, well, the Bible just confirmed itself again. The rich man just fades away like a flower. Are you shocked right now that your grass is brown unless you've been watering it? Are you shocked? No, you're not, because you just come from out there in the heat. If that heat hits that grass long enough with no water, it turns brown. Flowers die. People die, whether they're young or old, and depending on what's going on, they die. You say, well, I don't understand why God lets that happen. And then we come in all the time on Communion Sunday, and it's like we read scriptures, but then it's almost like we don't want to believe what God says. Now, God, the people say, well, well, you reading what God said. If I told you something and then you found out I was a liar, you wouldn't have a problem calling me a liar. I don't understand why people come sit up in God's church knowing he's a liar, if he exists at all. He's a liar, but we know he's not. But we make him by doing some of the things and saying some of the things we did. This is why the children of Israel, that's why God, look, God told Moses, the part I didn't read to you that is right before the story. God said, Moses, I've had enough. He said, get out of my way so I can kill all of them, and I will start over with you. Okay, now you remember that the next time you decide to go do anything you feel like it now. But God said, get out of the way, Moses. Let me just kill them all. We'll start over. Moses said, no, Lord, please don't do it. I'm begging you, don't do it, because people are going to say you couldn't keep your people. And the Lord said, okay, Moses, I heard you, and I'm going to forgive them, but they ain't getting in. I've had enough. They've tempted me enough. They've not believed me enough. Therefore, I will not let them in the promised land. The very children that they were concerned about, I'm going to let them go in. They don't get to go. That's what God's judgment on them. And they then decided, well, we're going to go anyway, thinking God's going to go with them, and God didn't go. And they got beat, and some got killed, and they had to go back to the wilderness and stay there till they died. What you saying, Pastor? All right, now, in 1 Corinthians, let's just read first this before I do this. I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through 3. Think about what Brother Chris said last week. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal, fleshy. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal? Do you still walk as men? See, Paul was trying to make these people understand. Until they got out of all this concern they had, jealousies and everything, and envying the world and all the stuff they were doing, they would never be spiritual giants able to take on the devil that's constantly destroying people's lives. It wasn't going to happen. But the devil was going to be constantly up against them and destroying their lives. God tells us this. When we do communion, I read this to you all every time. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul goes later, and he says that we're to examine ourselves. Yeah, examine yourself. That's what he says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. He says then, because if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink condemnation to yourself. In other words, if I don't judge myself, honestly look at my situation and my circumstances and say, I need to make a change, then I'll get judged on my failure to make that change. When I went to the doctor many, many years ago and they told me certain things, I made a change because they told me what the future looked like if I kept doing what I was doing. And I chose to believe them. And then I got the results of what they said. I just did what they told me. It wasn't magic. I didn't pray God, you know, magically do something. I did pray God, by your spirit, please empower me to do what I'm being told. Because I can't do this on my own. I need your spirit. I need your help. In your weakness, then I'm made strong. I need your help, Lord. And then you see the scriptures where God comes and begins to say, let me tell you who need to be thinking of themselves as grasshoppers. All y'all. That's what he says in Isaiah. All y'all like grasshoppers, God say to me. He says, have you not heard? Do you not, have you heard about me? I'm the one who flung out the heavens. I'm the one that people got the nerve to come to talking about the big man in the sky. I'm not the big man in the sky. I'm a holy God. And although that's the way you choose to do it, people say people can talk to God the way they want. Yeah, you can. Till you meet him. And when you meet him, you're going to find out God expects respect out of everybody. I don't care what culture you come out of, God wants respect because he is the Holy One. He is God. He is the one who created everything and everybody and every planet and anything that can be. God says, I'm the one who even created these hosts that come after y'all. Every one of these people that you don't like or you think is they off, God created all them people. And in his mind, God don't care about none of that. People say they done stole a rainbow. Ain't nobody stole nothing from God. God has everything that's his. You can do whatever you want with anything. God has what's his. You can't steal nothing from God. God is going to destroy the planet eventually, he said. You just need to make sure you are on the ark, not out there getting flooded. Why don't people understand this about our God? He is the one making it all come together. He the one stirring it all up. He told Pharaoh, I put you where you are so I can tear you down. Some of this that's going on, God set it up so he can tear it down. People don't understand that because we can't do it. You look at every place, all the high places look like the devil done took over. But God said, I'm the one who promotes and tears down. So if God promoted the devil, then guess what? He gonna demote him. People say crazy, stupid things sometimes. They say, you know, the devil think he might win. The devil already knows. He know he ain't gonna win. He know the Bible better than we do. We don't know, maybe the devil don't know. We make this stuff up. But the Bible is clear that the devil is going in the lake of fire. It's clear. The Bible says that the demons believe and they tremble because they know their hour is coming. Unfortunately for us, we don't know. And because we don't know, the devil can blind our eyes. And all of a sudden, before you know it, our lives are destroyed. I want you to think about something. All the way back 2,000 years ago, even these philosophers understood the concept of excellence. I want to just read to you a definition that I found. Because I said to you, you cannot build excellent faith that overcomes unbelief by hopping by and avoiding the necessary spiritual discipline. In one place, Jesus said, this kind don't go out but by fasting and prayer. If you put yourself to the test, how many times do you fast in a year? How many days do you fast in a year? What would be your response to me? And I'm not talking about intermittent fasting you do to lose weight. I'm talking about fasting to find God for yourself. I'm not talking about fasting to make God do nothing because God's going to do what he want to do. I'm talking about you fasting so you understand. People say all the time, well, you know, they got food shortages coming. Well, look, I can say this. I go 7, 8, 10 days and don't eat nothing. I'm good. You can break me half an egg and I might eat that. I don't even need that. Just give me some water and I'll make it. You can't say that. Can't say what you ain't done. You can say what you've done. So when the food disappear, it'll just be like any other fast day for me. That's the way I look at it. The question for you is, how you looking at it? You have to exercise discipline in order to be able to do things. Jesus said, this kind don't go out but by fasting and prayer. Some stuff ain't never going to leave your life. He's already told you this kind cannot go out but by fasting and prayer. But I don't fast if I pray. And then wonder when something happens, why God let that happen? Well, you know, the Lord is mysterious. He just hides behind the cloud and do whatever he want to do to people. Really? That ain't what these scriptures say. This scripture here says, he that eats and drinks unworthily. See, this is our commitment. God is talking to us, not the world. God says, look, Jesus went to the cross and died for y'all. And if you realize, when they came out of Egypt, I told them, all these diseases that I put on the Egyptians, I will not put on you. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's what he said. Why about the, how you the Lord that lie? Because we sick. And people dying all the time, and they got these diseases. That's because God do what he want to do. You're a liar, I would say to him. You told me you are the God that healeth thee. People say, well, you can't say that. I'm saying it, and I dare him to kill me. Kill me, God, because I said you tell the truth when you said you're the God that heals us. I believe you, God. I believe you. I choose to believe you. I don't use all the excuses of what I see. Well, you know how it is. Everybody got things they doing, so we just all got to. That ain't what the Bible say. Paul said in one place, such were some of you. In other words, he says there were things we used to do. We ain't going to sit here and say we ain't did it. But trust me, if y'all catch me in the strip club, you should not come back. Because if I have not grown to the point as a pastor to be up here that I can't go up in a naked club watching a bunch of women, something wrong with me spiritually right now. You don't need me as your pastor. You need to go find a place where at least the leadership live godly lives. You can't say, well, pastor, I know you do things. I ain't doing that. Now, I'm just sorry. I'm not trying to sit here bragging on myself. What I'm telling you is what I used to do, I don't do no more. I grew up. There's some people who haven't. Do we get it? You're here right now. But eventually, like Brother Chris say, you got to come up higher. And eventually there comes a point where then you'll tell somebody, hey, that's why the Bible says the older women should teach the younger women. But you go online today and Sister Bookie, 65, showing off her beach body. Can't you put some clothes on and act like you 65? Well, pastor, you trying to make people old. I'm not trying to do nothing but stick with the word. The word said, let the older women teach the younger women. Now, when do we finally become an older woman? When does that happen? Well, pastor, I'm just saying, I'm trying to keep my beach body. Okay, Bible don't say nothing about that, but I get it. I'm not saying anything wrong with being healthy and staying in shape. I get it. But you're supposed to be able to teach them something. What God talking about teaching them? Older men. Catch me somewhere walking. I'm always walking like this. I've been walking like this since I was 10, you know. Now I'm 75 still. Hey, girl, what's up? Really? Older man, can I get you to act like a man? Can I get you to act like a Christian man? Can I get you to see that's flesh? You got to let it go. You got to throw it overside. You got to understand you are a spirit man. You need to walk by faith and not by sight. Let it go. Oh, no. Bible says in this place, it says for this reason. Here, see, sometimes people say, why? And I'm going to tell you what I wrote down as I was praying. We reject God's why because we do not wish to face the what? I may not know the word, but I always come up here and I say this to y'all in all honesty and sincerity, y'all, and I mean it. Please mark this today. Mark it down again. If I just come up dead, I'm telling you, I got something going on that y'all don't know about. If I just come up dead, all of a sudden, you know, Sister Lord calls, oh, not that she would say it like that, but y'all, I just want to tell y'all, unfortunately, pastor was in the backyard looking at the fence, and he just dropped dead. Praise the Lord. I don't know what happened, but he just dropped dead. Let me tell you what. I was saying he just dropped dead. He up here talking something. He's saying something, doing something. Whatever you think. You say, well, I don't believe that. Why don't you believe? Think about it. Why don't you believe it? Let me tell you why you don't believe it. Because you have all these examples of people that you know absolutely nothing about except what you think you know, who have all these troubles and problems and things that happen, and you can't rationalize it in your mind based on your picture of who this person is to get to the result. You just can't do it, so you throw the world into chaos, and it just does whatever it does, and God has no control, and it doesn't matter what happens because God ain't got nothing to do with it. He's sitting on the throne. But when you die, come on up there, he got another angel. Come on now, I'm just saying, what else is the reason? Think about it. People are like, oh, this makes me so uncomfortable. I know it should. This is called meat. I'm going to try not to choke you with it, but I'll chew it up some, like Brother Chris said last week. Babies can eat meat after 6 months. I'll chew it up some and try to give you some. But I want you to think about the incongruency of saying, you serve a God that can do anything. But then he don't do anything. right? You serve a God who can do anything. We ain't talking about for the world. We talking about us. This is what he told us. Look at what he says now. This is what he says. For this cause, what cause? Failing to judge yourselves. We're so busy judging the transvestites and everybody else. Failing to judge yourself. For this reason, many of you are weak, sick, and die early. Oh, my God. God, is this really true? Or if my football coach told me, you want to know why you missed that play? I remember we played Point Capi when I was in high school. Point Capi High School, I was playing. I had a linebacker position. Coach had us watching film after film after film. He said they run this special play all the time, and they always score on the other team. You know why? Because they don't stay in position. He said, son, play your position. Don't go for the fake. Stay in position. I watched the film over and over, and you could see the play. Boy, they ran that play. I was right there. And this is why I think I didn't get a scholarship to college. I was right there watching the play. Y'all think y'all know why, but I'm finna tell you why in a second. I'm watching the play. I see it. This it. Quarterback goes that way, pretending, you know, he finna pitch it. And he turns, and when he turned, there I was. Because I knew the play. I said, oh, that ain't it. Stay your position. Because, see, this guy ain't going. See, that's who he gonna throw it to. He should be going this way to block. He ain't moving. Oh, yeah, just stay right here. And when the quarterback turned, I took off running. And when he threw it, I saw his face like, oh, no. I had wide open field. There were scouts in the stands. I jumped up. And as soon as I jumped up, I got a Charlie horse. See, y'all thought I went with the play. That's what y'all thought happened. Oh, no, I read the play. I had it. And then, I jumped up. And fell on the ground. I hit the ball, but I fell on the ground because it was so bad and painful. If I'd have caught that ball and ran, who knows where I'd be today. But I tell you what, I didn't. I got Charlie on. But bottom line is, I stayed in a position. I read the play. I did exactly what it said. All I'm asking you to do is the same thing. You come in here, you say, okay, God, look. Now you say, if I would judge myself, there's a lot going on around me, a lot going on with people, a lot going on in the world. But when I come in here, I recognize something when I take this communion. Jesus died for the whole world. Now, I said something to somebody the other day. They disagreed with me, but that's okay. People disagree with a lot I say. I said, let me tell you why I think it's not such a bad idea that they so-called stole a rainbow. I said, because God says every time he sees the rainbow, remember what happened? The earth, the Bible says, was full of violence, full of sexual perversion, full of all kind of stuff, such that God said, it repenteth me that I even made man. So he called Noah and he said, build me an ark, because I'm going to destroy this entire place. And God did that. And the Bible says, after the waters went away, there was a rainbow. And God said, I put my bow in the sky as a covenant between me, man, and all the animals, that never again will I destroy this planet by water. But there will come a day that I'll be back. So when he looks down and he sees all the stuff that we see, and he sees that rainbow attached to all the stuff that we see, I don't think God gets angry. God remembers. Because even though I should destroy you now for what you're doing, I made a covenant. And all you all are doing is reminding me on an ongoing basis not to kill you, not to destroy you, at least not yet. That's all that rainbow means. So when people say, take it back, I don't need to take nothing back. That's God's rainbow. God knows exactly what it means. And it's stamped on exactly who need it. Oh, yeah, they need that. Let them keep it. They need that. Because the Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we ain't going to get judged. But when we get judged, we're being chastened, disciplined. God's disciplining us. God says that weakness, sickness, and death is discipline on his children. Why? Because we won't do what God's telling us to do. So he's saying, look, I need you to judge yourself. Judge yourself. That's why I'm telling you. If I just come up dead, look, I just believe God. Y'all believe God. God got me for something. Whatever. I believe I'm a child of God. But I don't try to live like I think I can do anything I won't do when I won't do it. I ain't doing that. I'm trying not to do that. Were you saying you perfect? I didn't say that. What I said was I don't buy into living a lifestyle that says you can do whatever you want to do, then you just pray and God gonna forgive you and it's gonna be all right because Jesus died for us. Yeah. Well, no, we're not doing that. I want you to listen to this definition of excellence. Excellence is being good at a good thing. It means that you strive to be the best you can be and to do the best you can do. Excellence reflects moral virtue and therefore strives toward what is positive, valuable, and praiseworthy. So when we talk about excellent faith, we're talking about being good at a good thing, being able to exercise faith in a good way because it's a good thing to have faith in God. Matter of fact, because God is the one who testifies. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Even the young men are going to get weary and they're going to faint. But they that wait on me will renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They're going to run and not grow weary. They're going to walk and not faint because I strengthen them through my spirit. God said that. God said that. God said, I'm the one that sits on the circle of the earth. I know what's going on down there. Don't let nothing bother you because I'm in charge. I'm in charge of this thing. Y'all got a misconception of me. When they went in the promised land and saw the giants, the reason God got mad was because they kept saying, we can't do it. Well, what you're saying is God can't do it. When you say, I can't do it, let me say this to you. When you say, I can't do it, you're right, you can't. When you say that, I can't do it, well, you can't. You're right, you can't. But let me say this to you. If you can do it, you can't do it. Chew on that a minute. If you can do it, you can't do it. So every time you say, I can't fast, can you eat? Well, if you can eat, you can't eat. Oh, yeah, because who feeding y'all around here other than a little baby? Who feeding y'all? When you sit to the table, somebody put a fork in your mouth. Who feeding you? You feeding you. So if you can feed you, you can't feed you. You say, nope. If you can, you can't. I'm just saying, well, I can't help myself. Then you need help. Yeah, that's how addicted people talk. Yeah, drug addicts say, I can't help myself. So they addicted. They have something that's drawn. They got to do it. If you're addicted, that's even more of a reason to cut it off. Because nothing should be ruling you as a believer. There are some people in here get up every day and go run. And there's some people get up here and run straight to the refrigerator. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying that's what we're doing. Some of them running to the refrigerator. Some people running around jogging. What's the difference? Ain't nobody got a gun to neither one of them head. Excellence does not just happen. You know, many times people confuse when Paul said, don't be corrupted by vain philosophy. He was talking about philosophy of life and things that have to do with God and things like this. I want to read something to you that Aristotle said. Now, he was a philosopher. I want to read something to you that he said, and I want you to think about it as it relates to life, and you'll see it's true. Excellence is never an accident. An excellent football player, an excellent teacher, an excellent student, an excellent mechanic, an excellent painter, an excellent dancer, an excellent writer. Excellence is not an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, and intelligent execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. Choice. Joshua said, choose you this day who you gonna serve. He said, as for me and my house, We going to serve the Lord. That's what he said. He told them people, I don't care about none of what y'all doing. He said, but make a decision. When Elisha went on Mount Carmel, Elisha told the people, how long are y'all going to halt between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. You know, just make a decision. You got to make a choice. Excellence is about choice. It's about saying, if you decide, you don't get excellent health just running around doing what you won't do. And then at some point, you're going to pray and say, what? God, just give me excellent health? Things happen. I get all that. We're not even talking about that right now. I'm just talking about what I just told you a minute ago, that they said that there are tons and tons of people who have diabetes and don't even know it because the symptoms haven't shown up yet. And it's not until the symptoms show up that they go to the doctor. Then the doctor takes the test that they maybe should have been taking and find out you got it. Wow. You don't just get excellent health. I mean, listen to me. You can't drink a margarita every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and then wonder why your sugar high. You've been doing it since you was two. You know, some people, parents introduce them to drinking. You know, they want to get them early. You know, I want to show them how to do it. Been doing that since you're two, and you wonder why your sugar high. Because you're putting it in your body, okay, and it's going in there. You're smoking. And you just smoke. People say, well, I know this guy here, 100 years old. He smoked, and he ain't dead. Okay. How many of them can you find for me? Please find how many of them you find is 100 years old and they were smoking. That's just not the way that goes. Normally, people that smoke have problems. How can we not believe that this is a problem? If you go in a smoky room, you start coughing. You stay in there too long, you die because the oxygen is all gone. You got to understand it. Excellence is never an accident. So if you want excellent faith, you think you're going to get it by accident? People keep saying stuff like, well, God do stuff to do it. God ain't doing nothing. Pastor, you can't say. I can say this. I speak on God's behalf because I just read what God said. Now, go with me to James chapter 1. Go with me to James chapter 1. And we're going to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 12 through 17. 12 through 17. And let's read this. Blessed is the man that endures temptation or testing, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, y'all see that? No man, that's everybody. That word man means man species, not man, female, male, female. That means man species. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, say every man, that's me. No, y'all know y'all won't say every man, that's me. Is tempted when he is drawn away of whose lust? His own, and enticed. So God says, look, don't be putting that on me because you done went out and got yourself caught up in something you know you ain't had no business. Talking about the Lord was testing me. You know, everything happened because the Lord is testing you. The Lord said, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm sitting up here on my throne. I done told you not to do certain things. You got something going on the inside of you. Yeah. I'm just saying, you got something going on inside of you. God says, that's how you got drawn away. That's like fish. But, Chapman, you fish. That's like fish. You know, they get caught, and then they say, man, that hook drew me in. Every fisherman knows not to throw a hook in the water. Just a hook. Unless it's some big giant one or something, I don't know, but a regular hook and think you're going to catch anything. No, they put stuff on the hook to what? Entice the fish. And the fish sees that thing it like and it jump on that hook. And next thing you know, it's caught. I don't know why she calling me all the time. Question is, are you calling her back? Are you picking up the phone? You know, it's amazing to me how these men that say they're trying to get away from women, they always seem to show up where they're at. Or some kind of way, she always around, some kind of way, calling or whatever that, whatever going on now. When it's very simple to take care of things you don't want around. You ever had a little dog following you? You ain't want following you? What you say? Get! Dog, take off. Why is she following you around? Have you said, get! Well, I don't want to hurt her feelings or nothing like that. Did you say get? Get. Look, I don't want to be bothered with you. I don't want to deal with you. I have a wife, and you ain't she. What part of that you don't understand? I don't like you. I don't want to deal with you like that. I'm going to need you to go. Now, what woman that got any measure of self-respect would say, oh, no. I don't care that you said all of that. I'm going to keep following you because you're just so godlike. I just have to be attached to you. When you say, get, the dog take off. The dog don't come say, hold up, stop, wait. Don't you know I could be a really good dog to you? And I'm not going to run off yet. I'm going to stay right here, even though you hollering, get, and you don't like me and you don't want me around. Even dogs got enough sense to run off. All right, let's try to do something different. Like I said, Sister Lori loves to bring candy around. And what would that make her the devil? She the candy devil? No. If she want to eat a few little pieces of candy and she has candy around for people to get some, what they got to do with me? How come when I come here to the church, all of the candy bowls are empty now? Because I ate it all. Yeah, y'all left, and I come in to do stuff through the weekend. Every bowl, I go in until it was empty. Really? Who? The bowl, the devil ain't there. People keep saying, the devil tempting, he talking in your ear. The devil is not, folks, there ain't but one devil. There are lots of demons, but one devil. The devil is not following you around. I hate to blow your bubble, but he's not. You're not that important. He might be following Putin or somebody else, but he ain't following us around. He might got some demons following us, but not the devil. The temptations we're dealing with are our own. When I look at that candy bar and that candy bowl, I started exercising. The worst person you ever want to meet is somebody that teaches you stuff to do they don't do. Trust me. So I walk up to the candy bowl, and I'm looking at it, and I said, I can eat that. Well, then that means you can't eat it. I can't help myself. Well, you need to get up to the altar and pray right now, Pastor. If you can't help yourself, you're addicted to them candies then. It's one thing to take them and eat them and then you move on. You're addicted if you're saying it's your crack. Look like a squirrel done been up in here with all the little piles of paper from the candy. You're addicted. You better get up here to the altar and tell God help you. Because if he don't, when you go to the doctor and they take that blood sugar test and they say, oh, my God, how old are you now? 62. We want to tell you, your sugar level is it's way too high. How can that be? How can that be? I don't eat pies. I don't eat donuts. I don't eat, that's right. I eat all the candy in the church. All of it. Now, I could do like some people, just ban candy. That's right. Y'all start coming in and you start finding apples all around the building. People, what happened? I just wanted a little piece of candy. Pastor banned the candy. Why? Because he trying to ban temptation. This is why some people, seriously, are so against all kind of things you see. You go to these cities and they're like, take all the alcohol out of the stores. Take all the porn magazines out of the stores. Why? Why? Because they know. When they go to the store, they tempted to try to get a magazine. They want a drink. So they're so busy trying to tear everything down. If you don't want it, why do you care about it like that? Why does it entice you? Why does it tempt you? Because there's something in you got to deal with. See, you got to say to yourself, am I really against this because I really want to help you? In other words, when I'm hollering at all the people out there like right now that are doing stuff we don't like they're doing, Am I doing this because I really, really, really love these people and I want them to find Christ? Or is there something deep down in you that troubles you by the fact that people just doing whatever they want to do, when they want to do, how they want to do it, and you can't? Or you don't? Because some people just scared, you know, they just scared they ain't going to do certain things. They're just not going to do it. But the point is, am I doing? Why am I tempted by things? God said, because of you. It's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. You got to understand this. But I'm always be a grasshopper if I keep hopping by the disciplines that are necessary. Prayer, fasting, reading the Word of God. Think about an athlete who never reads the playbook. They just show up at the game. Now, they got some players that they like to be like that. They just go out there and call a play. But the play they call, at least everybody knows it's a play. They read the playbook, and even though that quarterback may not want to what, listen to the coach, at least they know the play. They call a play. We can't even call a play because, not y'all, many people, they can't even call a play because they don't even know what's in the playbook. They have no clue that God has told you, with long life will I satisfy you. Why not take advantage of what God says? Let me go over here. I mean, either that or let's call him a lion. Let's do something else on Sunday, y'all. I'm sure y'all got things y'all could be doing, right? I mean, wouldn't it be something else you could be doing, right? Come on, now let's look at Psalm 91. I'm going to look at Psalm 91, and all I'm going to look at is verse 16. And I just want to say, look, I'd like to be in that number. Hey, look, it's up on the screen. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to have some of that. What's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with taking hold of the promises of God? But what I have to understand is if I'm going to take hold of them, I got to take hold of the spiritual discipline necessary to have the faith to get me there. Because look, y'all, I'm telling you, there are going to be things going to come in your life that you are going to feel like you are down and out. You're down and out. And what are you going to do? Throw in a towel? Give up? You got to be able to stand. But the only way you can stand is you got to know what God says. Go back and look at what Isaiah. We're going to go back to Isaiah where we were in Isaiah chapter 40. I mean, sometimes it's almost like I can hear God sitting on his throne just stirring it up. You know, like what? Man, listen to this. Look at verse 28 again. Chapter 40, verse 28. This is like when you meet somebody in school. When I was in school, I remember when somebody wanted to bully you. This is kind of how they would talk to you. They talk to you crazy. It's like, you ain't heard about me? You know, when you stand up to them, it's almost like, remember, you confused? You ain't heard about me? All of the street gang get their creds by what? Things they do. So you heard about me. The gangster movies, The Godfather. That's why they cut the horse head off and stick it in your bed. So you heard about him. Saddam Hussein. The reason he kept the country together because people heard about him. He ain't going to kill you. See, you the problem. Say you the problem. Stirring up trouble in the city. He ain't going to kill you. He going to kill your mama, your daddy, your sisters and brothers, your children. And because people knew that, they wouldn't stir up no trouble. It's like, look, I'm bad. But I ain't so bad that I want to kill all my family. Because he's going to leave you around to see them all get killed. And it's all your fault and you know it. Look at what God says. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? What is it y'all don't know about me? What is it you ain't heard about me? That y'all think it's okay to act out of these like this down here? I mean, people doing all kind of things. People in the church doing all kind of things. Hey, y'all ain't heard? Yeah. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he don't faint. Neither is he weary. And you can't search his understanding. You ain't about to figure him out. He tells you what he's doing, but you ain't about to figure out the why he doing what he doing at the moment for why he do what he do. God has understanding that goes way past any of ours. But what he doesn't do is lie. See, he doesn't lie. The Bible says he can't lie. You ain't got to figure that out. He told you. I don't lie. So what you don't do is even though you can't understand him or whatever he's doing, he ain't lied about anything. So that means then that there's something going on that I don't understand, but God is true. Let every man be a liar. And so I got to know this about God. God say, you ain't heard. He gives power to the faint. You got some problem? God will give you the power you need. And to them that don't have no might, he'll increase your strength. People run around talking about what they need and this and that, and we're trying to get power from this one and power from that one and power from the government. You don't need none of that. What you really need is to get before the one. Obviously, you ain't heard. Obviously, you don't know. When the time came to destroy Egypt, God destroyed it. It was over. Pharaoh was sitting up there, and he said out of his mouth, who is that God? I don't know him. And God was like, I created you, brother, for this purpose, to destroy you. I am letting you do what you do so I can show the world what I do for people that can't help themselves. These people have been slaves for 400 years. They ain't know how to fight. They ain't know how to do nothing but work. Go make bricks. That's all they knew how to do. And God delivered them people. God went down and got the least of these and delivered them. He said, by my hand, I'm going to do it. You tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and I'm going to harden his heart. So he say, no. Well, God, that ain't right. Paul said, who are you to tell me what's right? What if I decided to create Pharaoh so I could destroy him? How you going to tell me I ain't right? That just ain't right. How you going to tell me I ain't right? I am God. I created everything. I created you. I created that. I created everything. I do what I want to do when I want to do it and when I'm ready. Oh, yeah, I'm going to tear this place down when the time comes because it's my place. I built it. How do people don't understand? You ain't heard? People say I'm a fantasy. Mm-hmm. Sure they do. I let them talk like that. Look at what it says. Even the young people faint. Go out there and look. You could be young people dying of heart attack. Young people, they faint. He says, even the young men fall. Young ain't got a corner on standing. People give up. Look at the world right now. Look at America right now. There are so many people who know right now that if you opened your mouth and said something, your whole life would be destroyed. If you said what you really believe about something and went in and told who you really believe. I was talking to my former boss yesterday about something. And his interesting comment he made, I said, you know, this is the great thing about being retired. I don't have to worry about that. He said, yep, and that's the great thing about being boss. I can make the decisions. I said, good, we understand each other fully. Yeah, see, you don't rule me. I come from under that. I'm retired. You the boss. You tell anybody what you want to do. I do what I got to do. I work for God. See, the words, it's different between strategy and fear. There's strategy and there's fear. I tell you, I'm not telling you go out and just say anything to anybody. I would never tell you to do that. But what I am telling you is that we do recognize we are in times. Some people trying to build a little YouTube channel. And they already know. And I try to get you prepped. I mean, I saw it happen with Jeremiah Wright. When Obama went to run for president, and they said, you went to that main church? Obama said, See, at the time, it was a great place to be because Obama was, you know, one of those big activists, and he was out there pushing the black rights and all that stuff he was doing. It was a great place to be. Let's go to Jeremiah Wright Church because he's a crazy preacher. He could stand up and say, God damn America, because that's what he said. And Obama was right out there, praise, yes, amen. And then he'd go get his little votes, and he was in the Senate. Then he wanted to run for president. And he realized, oh, my God, if people think I went to a church that the pastor said, God damn America, how am I ever going to get elected? Because I need all of America. I need a rainbow coalition. I need all the people to come together. He went from being I'm a stand-up Christian to got the White House with the rainbow colors and everything going on. He just steadily going. And everybody's like, but, you know, he's a great guy. The devil knows who to work through. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. Bottom line is, the last thing you want to do is talk about somebody black. Don't you say that. You might get in trouble, you racist, white supremacist, whatever else I can pile on top of it. So we know don't say nothing. Even though we know that don't seem right. No other president ever said out of their mouth, God's not dead. We've just birthed a new plethora of gods. Huh? I thought you was a Christian. If I got up here, look, if I got up here one Sunday and said, look, y'all, I'm a Christian pastor, and I say, look, no, God's not dead, but we've birthed a new plethora of gods. Y'all shouldn't come back, I hope. I hope you're going to say, whoa, I thought I was going to a Christian church. I got to get out of here. No, you wouldn't stay. But people kept holding on. Why? Because we're in a mainstream of an American society that requires us to come along to get along. If you don't come along and get along, when it's all over, you're out of here. Now, some people might say, Pastor, why are you saying all that? Well, I'm just saying. You know, I tell people this all the time. Look, I have exercised enough spiritual discipline. I know how to be alone. I really do. I know how to be alone. One of the best things you can figure out is how to be alone, how you spend some time with yourself and be okay, and God. Because as time keeps going, there comes a moment where I feel like Jeremiah Wright. You know, there's going to come a moment where people are going to be trying to figure out. Now, what did you say? What exactly did you just say? I said, have you not heard? Have you not known? That God said this, and God's going to destroy the whole planet, and all the stuff that's going on, God's going to do something about that. What are you talking about? I'm talking about everything you see going on, all of it. So are you talking specifically about this? Yes. Are you talking specifically about that? Yes. There's something I learned a long time ago. The best thing that most of the preachers could do is just stay off TV. You know why they get on TV and get caught?
What do you think about homosexual marriage?
And then they start chewing their tongue like it's food. Why are you chewing your tongue? You should say, it ain't right. God didn't ordain that. That's what you're supposed to say. Why they can't say it? Well, if I say that, my audience might. Well, let me ask you this question. Why are you on TV anyway? Why? Why are you on a show, CNN or Fox, anyway, Mr. Preacher? What, you thought you was going to go in there and preach the gospel? Something in you. Something in you drew you to want to go sit in front of them cameras and be all nationwide and run your mouth. Now, you got to put your foot in it. You need to be able to take a stand on what it is you say, wherever you're saying it. But the problem is, you got baited into a situation that it wasn't time for you to be walking in. Folks, there comes a moment where all of us have to understand, if we really want to get to the place God wants you to get, where when your moment comes, I had a conversation with somebody about this the other day. There's a moment coming. You know, when I was a young man, very little, I used to always watch Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and I was reading all these things, and I always had this fear I was going to get killed, you know, for racial things. That's what I thought it was going to be, you know, this racial fight. I used to always think that because I watched them die, you know, when I was like 8 and 9 and stuff. And I just didn't understand that. I was like, how can these men be getting killed like this? It doesn't make sense to me. But then I realized as time went on that this is how this process works. When God really shows up, I'm talking about for real, when God really shows up and start making things happen, the devil gets extremely angry and mad and frustrated. This is why now he's trying to shut down people. Take your job. And see, most people, that's the easy way to go. It's simple. He got most people already. He got 80% of the people already. And I'm not talking about strategy. I'm just talking about the fact of fear. They are so connected to the world that they cannot lose. They can't lose. If they lose, they know it, so they back away. So he knows he already got that group. All right, so he's got that group. The question is, what group are you going to be in? Are you going to be the group that when the moment finally comes? Because, see, I tell people this all the time. I've had enough experiences growing up to know. You don't take your swing until it's your time. It's kind of like batting. You know, you swing too early, swing too late, whatever. Got to wait, hit your pitch when it's time. There's a moment for all of y'all, and it's coming. There's a moment for each and every one of you singly, and it's coming. Don't jump the gun. Don't jump too fast, but the moment is coming. That's why the Bible says anyone who endures temptation when he's tried, if he overcomes, then will I grant him a place. It's coming. We are in that hour. You ain't going to be able to be a little hopping guy, little grasshopper. What you say? No, you're going to hop right in it one day, and it's your turn. What you going to do? But if you've exercised those disciplines, you can do like Jesus did when he was in front of them. They asked Jesus, I'm going to close with this. I promise y'all. This is what the Bible says to us about Jesus. I'm going to go to Hebrews. Let me go to Hebrews here right quickly. I love this man. Love this man. Hebrews. And when it's talking to us about Jesus, it says this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1-2. Wherefore, holy brethren, that's y'all, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, make sure you look at that, the apostle and high priest of our profession. You know, I watched this movie once. Some of y'all might have seen it, 300. And there's this scene in a movie, you know, where the Spartan king comes up to these other group of people that are marching to this battle they're about to have. And he basically says to him, the other king, I saw that you all were coming to war. He says, but we thought you all's commitment to the war would be as much as ours. He says, you only have this handful full of soldiers? And all his people behind him were, you know, grumbling and whatever. And the king then starts pointing to them and he says, you, what's your profession? And he says, I'm a potter. And he says, you, what's your profession? Well, I'm a painter or whatever. And you, what's your profession? I am a blacksmith. And then he yells out, Spartans, what is your profession? And all together, you hear him go, woo, 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 and they got their swords. And he looks at the other king and says, see, my friend, I brought more soldiers than you. See, y'all better understand something about God. Jesus might look like he by himself. Bible says, who is the high priest of our profession? There's a lot more with us than with them. They can bring all the bodies they want. But when you got God, and you got the power of God, we bring a whole lot more soldiers than they do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today for the opportunity again to come into your house. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the anointing of your spirit. And Father, we that are here today, bind ourselves to the profession of faith. We trust God that the same Jesus that withstood the Roman Empire and the Jewish hierarchy, the same spirit that empowered him empowers us. And Father, we don't live as fools and we will not act as fools, but we also know that when our moment comes, we will stand firm, we will stand bold, the power of God will operate in our lives, and our profession will be the same as Christ. We are the people of God, called by his name. We do not faint. We do not fall because we are upheld by the most powerful anointed spirit there is, the Spirit of the living God. Father, we thank you for sharing your spirit with us through your Son, Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.